From Comerica Park to Jackson Field, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the game, 7:30 a.m.
The views and positions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the game 7:30 a.m. Some may find the content of this program controversial or offensive.
It's time to play the game.
Anyway, put on your big boy pants and buckle up. This isn't the safe space for weak takes or whining. You can say that this sports radio show is offensive-minded. Call the show at 517-300-4263. Text or call us through the game, 7:30 a.m. Message the game, 7:30 a.m. on Facebook.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Beanie's back.
Tell a friend. Guess who's back?
Now, here's your host and professional Hellraiser, Beanie Howell.
Welcome in. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m. Brand new week. Back at it Monday. And I want to remind you right out of the gate, of course, yes, it is a Studs and Duds edition of the program, a chance for you to win a $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of downtown Lansing. And all you got to do is participate in Studs and Duds by nominating one good and one bad performance from the weekend that was in the sports universe. Okay. Everyone who does that will be entered into a random drawing we'll conduct at the end of today's program, and one of you walks away with that $25 gift certificate, courtesy of the Nut House at downtown Lansing. And thanks to the Nut House for making this possible. So here are all the ways. Let me lay those out for you. Phone line 517-300-4263. Email the show beanie at wvfnam.com. You can use Facebook, send us a message or comment there with your Studs and Duds nominations. Just search Facebook for the game 7:30 a.m. to do that. Or use the free game 7:30 a.m. app. Click chat in the main menu. That'll send over a free text to us. Those are all the ways to weigh in. We'll do it all show. All right. Also, 1 week from today, come see yours truly at Buffalo Wild Wings in downtown East Lansing. For nachos and kneecaps, Lansing area's very own Detroit Lions tailgate show. We'll be broadcasting from the B-dubs there at the corner of Albert and I forget what other road it is, but you know what I'm talking about there in downtown East Lansing, next to the hamster cage. Broadcast will be from 6 p.m. to about 7:10, 7:15. All right, come out for swag, giveaways, and hard-hitting Lions analysis. And then stay for the Las Vegas flavored kneecaps that I'm sure Dan Campbell and the boys will be serving up on Devil's Night 1 week from today. Lord knows they'll need a rebound, and I think it sets up well as a get right spot for the Lions. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Dr. J is here. Hi, Dr. J. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Well, I've been better. One of the worst football weekends in my entire life.
I'm sure it's not great. Same
for you, right?
Oh, it was a horrible weekend for football, but that's okay.
If you're the unfortunate combination of a Michigan State and Lions fan, like Dr. J is, on Saturday night, Jim Harbaugh destroys you, and then on Sunday afternoon, John Harbaugh gets his turn.
Yep, it was bad.
Yeah, what a terrible, terrible football weekend for those of us in that group. You know, I'm not a Lions fan, but I also am not a Lions hater, and I'm happy for all of you who are experiencing this and have been waiting for this your whole life. I had a pretty bad football weekend too, obviously the Michigan State thing, and we'll get to that. But I'm also a Packers fan, and to see the Packers offense, my God, struggle to look competent against the league's worst defense at Denver. Just, wow. It's rough. It's rough. I knew it was going to be bad. I knew. But, wow, the growing pains are so much worse than I anticipated. But, hey, it's going to be a long trek to finish this football season out. But, damn it, we'll get there. And, anyway, Lions fans, I don't think you need to be too disappointed. I don't want to spend a ton of time on the Lions today. I want to save that for tomorrow, Dr. J. But if you want to bring it up, it's fair game. Just if you tune in and you're wondering, why isn't Beanie talking more about the Lions? Because you know how this works. Monday is generally about Michigan State and college football. And then Tuesday we can dive more in on the Lions and NFL. But look, it's the NFL. Even the best teams get their ass kicked a couple of times in season. I wouldn't freak out about it. And also, do you want to lose? No, of course not. Do you want to lose like that where you didn't even compete? Of course not. But if there's a game where you can afford doing that, it's in a non-conference game. You know, that was an AFC opponent. So if we get to tiebreaker scenarios for seeding in the NFC playoffs, that won't hurt you in a tiebreaker, that is. But anyway, I want to put a pin in that. I got a lot to get to about Michigan State. You thought it couldn't get any worse when the coach was fired for pleasuring himself, allegedly unsolicited, during a phone call with a rape survivor and victim advocate he hired to educate his team about the perils of sexual harassment and sexual assault. Then you thought it couldn't get any worse after blowing an 18-point lead in under 5 minutes of game time against Rutgers a week ago. Thought that was the bottom. Then there was Saturday night getting kneecapped at home under the lights by your arch rival, 49-0. But it got worse. You thought maybe you had finally bottomed out when Michigan's third string was in and scored the final touchdown to make it 49-0 with a guy named Orgy at running back / quarterback. But I think we have finally found rock bottom. This has to be rock bottom. If it gets worse than this, I'm just not going to be able to comprehend it, because on Saturday night, Michigan State put up more Hitlers on their scoreboard than they did points versus Michigan. Yeah, Jim Rice. Jim Ross is right. That is rock bottom. That has to be rock bottom. Dr. J, please tell me, this is rock bottom, right? This is finally it.
I don't know how you could go any lower than that.
Me neither.
Is it possible?
If anyone could, it would be this group. But I just have to believe we finally bottomed out, despite the MSU Board of Trustees' best efforts since Saturday night. You know, the MSU Board of Trustees, apparently pathologically incapable of going just a few days without generating negative headlines, is now in full-blown infighting, and there's a civil war going on the MSU Board of Trustees right now. I don't know how much you care about that. I do think it's relevant to sports because Michigan State is in the middle of trying to hire a president and a football coach, and, you know, the Board of Trustees, you don't want them super involved in the latter hire, but they still have to sign off on it. You got to admit, like, when you're trying to attract quality candidates, it's hard to do when you have incompetent leadership. And that's true at any facet of professional living. But think about something like this that's this public. Again, Michigan State is trying to hire a permanent president, as well as its next football coach. Do you think it's making a good impression on those people who they may be talking to or may be making overtures to, or even people who are just thinking about it? Do you think they're getting a good impression of Michigan State with its board just destroying each other with one board member issuing a public letter calling for the resignation or outright removal of the board chair for a laundry list of allegations that include, again, these are allegations. I don't know that I don't have firsthand knowledge of any of these things happening. I certainly wasn't there, but the allegations are that the board chair, Rima Vassar, has breached a number of board bylaws and university policies by allegedly acting unilaterally without the board's consent or knowledge, including the president as well, without her knowledge or consent, and a number of different things like trying to settle things with the business school dean who was fired, and that's led to a lawsuit, trying to allegedly move certain colleges of Michigan State to a downtown Lansing campus, allegedly negotiating with City of Lansing leaders without the board's knowledge or the president's office knowledge, allegedly bungling the Nassar documents release, allegedly, you know, meddling into the follow-up and investigation following the campus shooting in February. And also, Breonna Scott, in her letter, not so subtly, alleges that Rima Vassar is the one who leaked Brenda Tracy's name in the first place with the Mel Tucker situation. Just, wow. Then we have two more calling for Vassar's resignation. Then another one comes out backing her. Now the governor is saying she may consider, I don't know, just what an absolute mess. Absolute mess. And did I mention Hitler was on the scoreboard Saturday night? Good Lord. You just can't write this stuff. Dr. J, what did you think when you heard about that? The Hitler part. The Hitler trivia being on the Spartan Stadium scoreboard during the pregame, like an hour before the game started.
My thought was, how do you let that happen? Who was in charge and mm-hmm. who messed up? Because that is unacceptable. You cannot have that.
I have a theory. And I don't know this. I don't work there. And it's not like someone on the inside has told me. But I suspect this is what happened. Well, first of all, we have established, it has been proven, that that trivia video or slideshow that was playing is on YouTube. It's just some general trivia thing you can find on YouTube. So Michigan State, you know, by halftime, had already released a statement apologizing for that and saying they were looking into what happened. And then later on, you know, they put out another statement. I think this one came from Haller saying that they've suspended an employee and that they will be looking into like how these third party vendors are vetted for this kind of stuff. Well, the thing is, this wasn't a third party vendor. It's a YouTube video. So they were just running a YouTube video on the scoreboard, which is, I mean, okay. I guess I'm guessing other places do that. But probably not the brightest idea. Also, how did no commercials pop up? How were there no YouTube commercials popping up in the middle of that? Anyway, maybe they have YouTube Premium. I think probably, seriously thinking about it for a second, I think I know what happened. And again, this is just me, my estimation of the situation as someone who's in the industry. No one told me this, and this certainly hasn't been reported. But Dr. J, I'm guessing what happened here was some middle manager who is underpaid and overworked and has a million things to do as it pertains to the game day experience there, you know, with audiovisual kind of stuff at the stadium, probably put some intern in charge of, hey, we need something to fill X amount of minutes during the pregame for pregame entertainment on the video board. Can you find some kind of trivia video to run? And so the intern was probably like, sure, and just went to YouTube like virtually anyone else would do and just ran with that. And probably, I'm guessing, I hope at least, whoever put that up there did not watch the entire thing first. That's the only explanation, right? Right?
Yeah, that would make sense to me. This seems like an intern move.
Yeah, but ultimately, that's not the intern's fault.
No.
It falls to the manager, and I'm guessing that's who the person was that was suspended, with pay, by the way, while they investigate. Do we really need an investigation into this? Isn't it clear what happened? Somebody wasn't paying attention. Also, You know, to whoever the manager is that this falls on, by the way, I'm going to guess at some point that manager, and I don't know this, but my guess is that manager probably submitted a request to spend some kind of money on some software to run on the video board and was denied. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's how massive bureaucratic organizations work. You know, let's skimp on everything and just do the bare minimum to get by. Well, this is what happens. This is the kind of stuff that happens when you skimp. So I'm guessing that's probably what happened. Do I know that? No, but that's just my read of the situation. That's not an excuse, though. I mean, come on. I know it's just trivia, but you can't have a picture of Hitler up on your scoreboard. You can't. I don't care if Israel and Palestine are at war or not. You just can't. It doesn't matter. I've heard people say that, well, if what was going on in the Middle East wasn't going on right now, this wouldn't be a big story. Yes, it would. Yes, yeah. It would. Anytime Hitler is brought up, yeah, that's an issue. Oh, boy. What a mess. Yikes.
I just don't. I don't understand how you could be so bad at your job to not pay attention to that.
Oh, well, I do. Did you not hear what I just said?
I heard what you said. I know it's. They probably asked for funding to have something else, but still, you have to pay attention. You have to watch the video before you put it up on the big screen.
Yeah, but a kid, an intern,
it's up to the manager
isn't going,
to watch it.
It is, but the manager probably is doing the work of four jobs and paid less than a fourth of what he or she should be paid. So yeah, I can totally see how it happens. Not an excuse, by the way. Still can't do it. Look, man, when you invoke Hitler in any way, it generally doesn't go well. Think about politicians who call each other Hitler. That never works out. That doesn't go well. This wasn't even an offensive application of it. Come on, man. You go to a college football game and Hitler's on the scoreboard? Unacceptable. You can't have that. I don't care if it was just innocuous trivia. Do better. I'm with you, Dr. J. What a mess. What an absolute unmitigated mess. That's why I'm saying this has to be it. This has to be rock bottom. Mel Tucker self-imploding, self-destructing so spectacularly, masturbating on a phone call with a rape advocate survivor that he hired to educate his team and program about the perils of sexual harassment and sexual assault. Unmitigated disaster on the football field, of course, but, you know, that pales in comparison to all the other stuff going on. And then, yeah, you know, just getting chased out of your own yard. And did anyone expect Michigan State to compete? I don't think anyone rationally. But I also think, you know, on the tailgate show, and by the way, thanks to everyone who stopped by the Whitelaw PLOC tailgate show. We had a good crowd, and that was fun. Nice to see everybody. But even on the tailgate show, like, none of us were under the impression that State was going to do anything. We all had Michigan covering to some extent. I think I picked 45-13, and somehow it was worse than that. God. But that, I mean, somehow it was way worse. Again, at the end of the game, Michigan's punching one more in, which I don't blame them. I would do the same thing. But it's like adding insult to injury, it was a guy named Orgy that scores the last touchdown. Damn, what a clown car. And the Hitler thing, good Lord. It has to be it. It can't get any worse, right? Like, I'm not going to go to Breslin this year and see, like, some Stalin trivia, right? It can't get worse. By the way, embarrassing, of course. And I went to school there. Dr. J, you went to school there. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn when I speak for you by saying that this whole Hitler thing is embarrassing, isn't it? It embarrasses me. Go ahead. Does it embarrass you?
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Okay.
Yep.
But also, let's put it in perspective. It's not like Michigan State ran like a Photoshop of Jim Harbaugh with the Hitler stash speaking at the Reichstag. Like, that would be truly reprehensible. This, at least, was just a careless mistake. which is, I think, forgivable. A careless mistake. This was not protracted. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? Like, it would be way different if it was something like that, like making light of it or putting the Hitler stash on, you know, a different school's player or coach or something like that. They didn't do that.
Right, that would be on purpose. They right. didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah. And I, in some cases, it's even worse when there's the lack of intent, like just like a complete recklessness, but not in this case. No. The lack of intent, I think, is important here. But also, I also noticed this. I love this. We got more coverage. We got more coverage before halftime of the game Saturday night. And at this point, it was like 2 hours old. We got more coverage of the Hitler trivia graphic on the Spartan Stadium scoreboard within 2 hours of it happening Saturday night. There was more coverage of that in the Detroit media than there was of, oh, I don't know, a Michigan hockey player 1 month ago getting kicked off the team for spray painting swastikas on the campus Jewish center. I mean, there it was right on display again. Complete and total blue wall, shamelessly out in the open. Ask yourself, which is worse? Which is worse? And there's, look, it's not like either one is a favorable thing or something you want to happen. But come on, man. There are orders of magnitude to things. Just unbelievable. It never stops, man. Never. I think the game had barely started and we had the outrage police out in full force on Twitter spinning this into some catastrophe. And it really isn't. It's embarrassing. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? More than anything else, more than malicious, it's just humiliating. It's just careless stupidity. There's no malevolence to that. Now, a member of your hockey team spray painting swastikas on the local Jewish center? Yeah. That's a little malicious. That probably deserves some coverage. Just never stops. But anyway. Hey, look, I don't know what there is to say about the actual game, though. Like, what's there to say that you don't already know or you haven't already heard someone else say? It was debilitating, humiliating. I've seen a lot of people say that's the first time they ever turned off the MSU-Michigan game before it was over. I don't blame you. It was over before it started. I don't know. Fitting that they were wearing black uniforms, though, because it was a funeral. But that therein, maybe that's the silver lining, right? That this has to be rock bottom. That's what I'll put to you today. It has to be rock bottom, right? And you can do studs and duds too, but I'm also asking you, have we finally found rock bottom for MSU football? Go to the phone lines right now, 517-342-63. Joe in Lansing, what's up, dude?
Man, what's up? And you know, it's funny because even before your show started, I'm going, I was actually thinking to myself, dude, we're like rock bottom. I mean, we can't, it's going to be so hard to dig ourselves out of this hole for who knows how many years, because it's, I mean, depending on what coach we get, but I'm sure he's not going to be able to come in and wave his magic wand and turn miracles overnight. But just the shellacking, poor everything, poor coaching, poor game plan, poor
video board operations.
Well, that too.
Poor everything.
You know, I mean, Yeah, and it's discouraging for a Michigan State fan to just sit there and watch that, and I guess this is a good year to have alcohol sales there because of course they people drink anyway, but you mm-hmm. know now they're drinking just to salt the wounds of the terrible football team, and we got quarterback problems. How was it Colton Hauser? Is that his name?
Kaitenhauser.
He's not the answer. That other guy, not the answer. They're just, they're a mess. A total mess. Just,
I don't know. I think they have something to work with Hauser. You know, he's better than Kim.
Yeah. But, you know, just boneheaded plays, it's just... For being at the level because we're an FBS team, power conference. But that they didn't look like a power conference team by no means. So they look like a flat out high school team. So, can it get better? Yeah. I don't think in my lifetime or maybe half my lifetime, I don't think they're going to win a Big Ten championship in some years. I could be wrong, but,
don't you think though, like I keep hearing this take that like it, I don't know, it's going to take so long to fix, but is it though? Like this era is completely different. You can go and remake your roster in one offseason with the portal and NIL now. I'm not saying it's for sure going to happen this way. Obviously, there's a lot of work to be done to take advantage of it, but the tools exist now to remake your team overnight virtually, you know?
Well, yeah, and everybody thought Deion Sanders did it with Colorado, and now they're just
mm-hmm.
not even receiving votes now for the polls.
Right. So, well, they're 4-3, and yeah, they have a tough schedule left, and the Pac-12 is probably the best conference this year. So, but still, like you can remake your program, like the roster, really fast now because of the changes. But also, even before that, look, Matt Rhule took over Baylor after yet another scandal that brought down, you know, that entire staff, Art Briles, that had built it back up. And within 2 years, they were back in Big 12 contention, you know, so it's, mm-hmm. it's possible.
But now they're not back in Big 12. In 12 good night. And TCU is not back in either. TCU has kind of fallen off the face of the earth. The dominating teams, and you know, as well as I do. And I think, you know, with Alabama is kind of shaky, but I think they could beat Georgia. I mean, I'm not saying just because Brock Bowers is out but they're relying strictly on their defense. So, they've got a slightly potent offense, but
yeah.
It's been defense. It's been defense for Georgia. It's been for the last 2 years. So, Michigan, good for Michigan. I'm not a hater. I'm a Harbaugh hater, but I guess I'm not a Michigan hater.
Well, it's okay to be a hater. You can do both. I hate the notion that you can't do both. Look, I hate Michigan's guts. I do. Always have, always will, in everything. But also, that doesn't make my eyes not work. They're clearly one of the best teams in the country. They are legitimate national champion contender. And if you watched Penn State and Ohio State like I did, I don't see them getting much resistance from this league. So if they are going to lose, it won't be until the college football playoff. And by the way, that looks pretty wide open for them this year. Like the Georgia isn't standing in the way they have. I'm not saying they're an easy out, but Georgia is not the Georgia of the past 2 years, as you just alluded to. There are plenty of other good teams, though. Like, just because I would warn Michigan fans thinking Georgia's down or Georgia looks mortal, so it's finally our time. We're going to cruise. No, because Washington might have something to say about that. You know, they have the best quarterback in the country. Or, Florida State looks pretty loaded, on and on and on.
Yeah, so I'll do my studs and duds. I'll do my my stud will be Lamar Jackson, basically the whole offensive line or whatever. They had 300 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
And, we got to go with the Lions for being the duds. But, that was one of those games there where you could have saw it, maybe a little bit closer. But that was a little trap game. So.
All right, man. You're in the drawing.
All right. Thanks, Beanie.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. By the way, people have been asking me who won the Bean Counter contest on Friday. And we did have someone who hit it right on the nose. So, let's do that and get out for our first break, Dr. J, if that works for you. Drum roll, please. It's the mayor of Holt, John Freeberg. Well done, Mayor Freeberg. John hit it right on the nose when he picked 49 points between Michigan State and Michigan. Dead ringer. Well done. You won a $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of downtown Lansing. Thanks for playing. If you missed out, don't worry. You got a chance to win that same prize today just by playing Studs and Duds. Nominate one good and one bad performance from the weekend that was in the sports universe. Get those to me in all these different ways. Phone line 517-342-63. Email the program, beanie@wvfnam.com. Send them over from Facebook via message or comment. Search Facebook for The Game 730 AM to do that. Or send them over through the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu to do that. Go to break. We'll come back. We dig back in. We're open for business, Studs and Duds wise, the rest of the show. I want to dig more in on the board thing going on at MSU. The governor's weighed in on that. And there's also an update to U of M Spygate. We need a better name for that, Dr. J. Have you workshopped anything yet?
I haven't come up with anything good, but I'm working on it.
Okay. There has to be something, and it has to end in gate. All right? That's your homework. You're supposed to do that over the weekend, but you're too busy pounding hard ciders at the tailgate show.
You know, somebody had to.
Hobnobbing with Tom Izzo.
My mom was so excited to meet Tom Izzo. That was the highlight of the weekend. Silver linings.
It reduced her to tears, I'm told.
She did cry.
Well, I cried too. Not at that, though. At what happened on the field in the video board. It's offensive-minded. I'm Beanie. This is the Game 7:30 a.m. Back after these words.
It's the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker, 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. A tradition in Lansing for over 20 years. With your hosts, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and offensive-minded host, Beanie Howell. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC. Doubting Industries, Shupan & Sons Recycling Industrial Services, Gravity Smokehouse, and Chandler's Top Shelf. This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show.
Sure, you could listen to static.
Or you could get the free Game 730 AM mobile app in your app store today and listen longer
without the interruptions from the static.
Listen live to all your favorite moments in sports and hear all the action. The Game 730 AM app also has tons of great restaurant deals for you. It's waiting for you right now in the app store today. The Game 730 AM app is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident. You could say we know a thing or two about sports.
Let's go!
We've only been doing it for 30 years.
We're The Game, 7:30 a.m.
This is it, right? We've hit rock bottom. Michigan State football, that is. With everything that's going on this year, just keeps getting worse and worse. The coach disgracing himself and blowing up the program and season on his way out the door in one of the most humiliating ways possible. There's also, of course, you know, all of the embarrassment on the field. How about blowing an 18-point fourth quarter lead to Rutgers in less than 5 minutes of game time? Getting owned against Michigan to the tune of 49-0. Obviously, that's humiliating. Letting Michigan put in a garbage time touchdown with some guy named Orgy, also humiliating. And then, of course, you know, putting up more Hitlers on your own scoreboard in that rivalry game than points. The hits just, they never stop coming. I don't know, man. It has to be rock bottom. That's what we're asking you. Is it? Here are all the ways to weigh in. And don't forget, it's also Studs and Duds. Search Facebook to send it over via comment or message. Search Facebook for The Game 7:30 a.m. to send us your Studs and Duds. You can also go ahead and send them over through email, beanie@wvfnam.com. You can also, of course, use the phone line, 517-342-63. And then the tried and true app. Use the free Game 7:30 a.m. app. Just click chat in the main menu. That sends over a free text message to us. That'll get you in Studs and Duds and with your take on this whole thing, too. Whether it's rock bottom or not for Michigan State football. It has to be. I don't know where else we can go but up. Oh, by the way, we've got news today. Simeon Barrows is officially entering the transfer portal. Harlan Barnett announced that at his weekly press conference earlier today. So one of the best players on a very bad defense. Rough and just getting rougher all the time. I wanted to dig in on the board thing a little bit. We mentioned it to start the show. So to recap, MSU trustee Brianna Scott is calling for the resignation or removal of board chair Rima Vassar for a laundry list of alleged ethical and policy violations. We put it up at thegame730am.com. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I don't think that makes for good radio. But it does matter. I think it's a big story because Michigan State is... This means a lot to the football hire because the board is involved in that. Whether they meddle or not, one can hope. But still, they have to officially sign off on it and approve it in a meeting to make the next coach official at Michigan State to approve the contract. And they're also hiring a new president, and that president might have something to say about the next MSU football coach as well. So this is terrible timing. Brianna Scott issued that letter publicly last night calling for Vassar to step down or forcibly be removed by the governor, which I guess is possible, or some sort of like the board can, I guess, vote her out some way. And by the way, they meet Friday, so there will be some fireworks Friday. But now Diane Byram has joined the calls. I guess the MSU faculty senate leader has joined the calls for Vassar to leave or be forced to leave. Look, I don't know. I would just say this. Brianna Scott started this by calling for Vassar to step down or to be removed from the board. I say, why stop there? Just get rid of all of them. Honestly, we've been over this time and again. It doesn't seem to matter who the names are or what the faces look like. It's just rinse and repeat with whoever's on this damn board. It's got this DNA, the board does, this legacy of infighting and complete incompetence as a result. It's just a bunch of career political opportunists putting their own interests ahead of that of the school. And we're going to hear a lot more in the next weeks or maybe it's just days. I don't know. In the coming days, for sure, you're going to hear a lot about how the state of Michigan determines the governing board for the three big public universities, MSU, Michigan, and Wayne State. Because right now it's determined by popular vote in an election, which is, I think most of us can agree, an incredibly anachronistic way of doing business. It's outdated. We need a new way. The governor picks the persons on the board for every other public university. There are 15 in this state. The governor picks the board for 12 of them. But for some reason, for the big three, we let it get decided by stupid partisan elections. And make no mistake, that's how this goes. It's straight party ticket that puts these people in these positions, which are incredibly critical. Dr. J, am I being brash when I say that in any just or common sense-based world, the right approach to seating the members of the MSU Board of Trustees would be by allowing the people most affected by their decisions to pick who gets to be on the board? And that's specifically students and faculty. Shouldn't they be the ones deciding who's on the board, not people that are just voting straight party because they're lifelong brainwashed one way or the other by the incredibly toxic two-party system in this country?
Well, yeah, but that would make too much sense. Why would we do something that actually would be helpful?
It's just so dumb, isn't it? Also, you want to know what else needs to change? Not just that, but these people have 8-year terms. Why would we give them longer terms than we do the people in our state legislature?
Who knows? That's ridiculously long.
Yeah, that needs to be cut at least in half, maybe further, because that is way too much protection and cushion. But look, if we're committed to making these seats get decided by popular election, then they need to be nonpartisan. And what I mean by that is they should be like judges, and they shouldn't have a party, affiliation. Now, we all know, even in those cases with judges who aren't allowed to declare a party, they're still backed by one party or the other. They still get funding and support because their beliefs and their rulings will align with one side's ideology more than the other. So it would still kind of happen. But if we took the Republican and Democrat part away from the MSU Board of Trees, Board of Trustees election, if we took the D and the R out of that, then you know what happens? When people vote state or straight party ticket, that no longer affects the MSU Board of Trustees election, which is what we need. We need, if you put that thing at the end of the ballot where it already is, but it's not part of the straight party selection, the only people who are going to vote on it are the people who took care to notice who the candidates are and research what their stances are, i.e. more responsible voters. That's how this should be determined. It shouldn't be subject to straight party ticket voting. That's bad. It's very harmful for these kind of seats that nobody pays attention to and gives a damn about. Like, isn't that a reasonable middle ground solution we could have in the immediate term here? I'm asking you, Dr. J.
I mean, yeah, it is. Absolutely.
That can't be that hard to do. And by the way, the parties still get to load up the war chests of whichever candidates they want to get on the board. They can give them all the money in the world they want to get on the board. Fine. Whatever. The difference is, I think it would make meaningful change because then, you know, straight party Republican voting Bob in Genesee County, who doesn't give a damn about Michigan State, his vote doesn't really wreck the entire potential future and present of the campus and the students and the faculty just because he's a lifelong Republican. Or, you know, let's say Jessica, the lifelong Democrat from Washtenaw County, who doesn't give a damn about the MSU Board of Trustees because she is a U of M grad. Her straight party Democrat ticket voting doesn't put potentially a bad person on the board at MSU because she's not voting in that anymore. She doesn't give a damn. There is such a thing called ballot fatigue, too. Like, people don't tend to fill out the ballot for those low ballot issues like that. I guarantee you, if we got rid of, we don't have to get rid of straight party ticket voting. I don't give a damn about that. I'm interested in the MSU part of this. So what we do is we just make the MSU Board of Trustees a nonpartisan position. So they're not part of that anymore. If we do that, I bet the number of votes cast for the MSU Board of Trustees in a given election drops by at least 50% because nobody cares. And that's the problem. We're letting people who don't care influence the direction of the board that governs the school. It's so reckless. That's how you get generations of career politicians putting their own interests and their own political opportunism over the well-being of the students, faculty, and overall university. 517-342-63. First up, he's been waiting here. Is this Ed?
This is Ted from Lansing.
Ted in Lansing. Hi, Ted. Sorry, it showed up as Ed. But what you got for me?
Well, I'm a lawyer, as you know. I've called you before.
Oh, yeah.
I have experienced governors appointing judges. More than half of the judges in Michigan are appointed before they have to run for office. When they run for office, they get a ballot designation that says, like, judge of probate. So that's an advantage. There's a ballot drop-off between the partisan ballot and the judicial ballot of about 30%. So you're right there. There is a drop-off there. I could not imagine the kind of trustees that Governor Rick Snyder, when he was governor, would have appointed to MSU. I'm sorry. They've got a guy on there now who's a Republican elected trustee, and I'm not picking on the Republicans per se, but he's the guy that voted against banning guns on campus.
Yes, Dan
That's
Kelly.
The kind of guy that Snyder would name. So, no, I can't go along with appointed people. And the nonpartisan doesn't work. I mean, you can try that. But here's what happens with the nonpartisan. For example, Supreme Court justices are nominated by the political parties. When I went in to vote in 2022, I knew who the Democrat running for the Supreme Court was and who the Republican, even though they're in the nonpartisan ballot. So it's... The problem is not how we elect them or how we choose them. I think the problem is, which you hit the nail on the head, people need to look at all these various offices, local government offices, judicial offices, You got to be aware. You've got to read.
But they don't, Ted. So how do we fix that? They just don't. People don't care.
We have to. Those of us that do care have to keep pushing.
Doesn't that bother you, though? Because you're doing it, and that's the way it's designed. Like, people are supposed to be informed about their vote, but they don't have to be. Doesn't it bother you that your vote is worth just as much as someone who just goes in there and checks straight party, D or R, and that basically cancels out all the care you took to be a good public citizen?
Well, it doesn't bother me because I'll be honest with you, Beanie. I have voted straight ticket before because the other party was unacceptable to me.
I'm not necessarily hating on that, but like I'm fine with that being an option. I just hate that it influences the MSU board, and make no mistake, it had. The reason it's 7-1 Democrats right now is because of that, right? Let's be real.
Well, it's the straight party voting. That's correct.
And by the way, I'm going to let you talk, but I just want to make clear to you and everyone else listening, this is not a D or R thing for me. I'm castigating both of them, not just one.
Yes, I agree. But I used the Rick Snyder example in the trustee who voted the First Amendment argument about guns on campus. Give me a break.
I agree with you. Heinous, especially in light of what happened.
Yes, Wayne State and U of M have the same issue. U of M has a better press guy. That's the problem. I mean, the hockey player is putting swastikas on the Jewish fraternity or sorority. Give me a break.
It got one story in the free press. That's it.
I didn't know that till you said it today.
Well, I mentioned it a month ago when it happened.
I missed that.
That's okay. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying that's the point I'm making. Like, we got more heavy hitting, wall to wall coverage of the Hitler trivia question on the Spartan Stadium video board than we did a Michigan hockey player being removed from the team for spray painting swastikas on a Jewish community center.
That's right. Let me ask a question that perhaps everybody else, and I won't use up all your time, can answer by calling in. Why are we contracting out the responsibility for what goes on the, and I'm a season ticket holder in both basketball and football. Why are we contracting out to a company that we relinquish control of what goes on the message board at Spartan Stadium or Breslin or Munn Arena? Don't we have a communication department at MSU? Don't we have students who are majoring in communication? Then why aren't we using that resource and saving all that money, which is a waste of time? You're hiring some company. I don't know if they're bozos or they're qualified.
Good question, Ed, and I appreciate the call as always. Very informed and a meaty call. Thank you, Ed. I got to work on that. I'm sorry, Ted. But good call. Thank you. I can't answer that. I can't speak for MSU Athletics. But anyway, you know, that's part of their excuse, really, is they said they contracted with a third-party vendor that was responsible for that Hitler trivia question. And the thing is, like, it's just not true because internet sleuths have found that very trivia presentation video on YouTube. So all they did was play YouTube up on the Spartan Stadium video board. So why does that happen? As someone who works in media, again, I don't work there. I can't speak for what happened there, but I have a hunch. The way the media works is let's cut and cut and cut and cut and cut. Let's cut to the bone and beyond. And then let's get four times as much work out of one person. Well, what happens? Things slip through the cracks, don't they? And maybe you don't notice them until you fail to vet a video an intern selects from YouTube to put up on a video board. And perhaps the biggest exposure event of the season at Spartan Stadium. And then it gets even more exposed because it's so heinous that it blows up on Twitter. That's what happens. That's a consequence of cutting to the bone and beyond. That's my guess as to what happened. 517-342-63. Gary in East Lansing. I've got like 30 seconds, Gary.
Well, you were on such a good buzz last week, Beanie, with the story on Michigan. I don't know if you're aware of the ESPN report.
Yes, I'm going to get to it on the other side of this break. But what were you going to say about it?
Well, I think they got the goods on them. My Christmas may have come early.
We needed something, didn't we?
Yeah, and this particular young man buying tickets to 30 different games at 11 different Big Ten schools, and now they've got video evidence of the people sitting in those seats holding up their cell phones, taking the video. So I would say that their goose is cooked. And if you look at the USC program and what happened to them when their goose got cooked, I think these Big Ten championships are going to be vacated, and I think their whole program is going to come crashing down. Now, I'm just telling you what I'm feeling right now,
okay,
because this is pretty serious stuff.
All right, Gary, did you have studs and duds for us?
Well, obviously the duds are anybody that played the Harbaugh brothers, because they ruined my weekend, both on Sunday and Saturday night, and I was at the game in person on Saturday night, and so that was a different experience, obviously, in that stadium. The Lions, of course, you know, what happened there, I guess I'll find out. I'll give you a report after I see them, what happens next Monday night if they bounce back. But so those are my duds. I'm going to, you know, my stud, I'm going to say is the U of M quarterback. I've watched a lot of football in my life, and he's one of the better quarterbacks I've seen at Michigan. And their tight ends are studs as well. So those are my
studs. All right, man.
And got my duds. Take care.
Thanks, Gary. You're in the drawing. Appreciate it. I'll get into that update on whatever we're calling Michigan Spygate. Dr. J's working on a killer euphemism for us. At least that's what I'm told, as she sits here and plays on her smartphone when she's supposed to be doing creative work for the program.
I was looking up some things on, you know, I have nothing for you. I was just on my phone. You're right.
Dr. J, you sound like someone who controls the content on the Spartan Stadium video board.
Yep, but that's me.
We'll get to the update on the Michigan Spygate thing. Spoiler alert, it's a rough day for the everybody does it crowd. A rough day for the it's no big deal crowd. Rough day for Tim. He was saying that on the tailgate show. I wonder if his tune has changed. Rough day for him. Certainly a rough day for all the U of N mouth breathers out there who are saying, this is so overblown, this is not a big deal. It's also a really rough day for people whose careers have proliferated thanks to Brand Steakhouse and Miller Lite.
This is no big deal. The NCAA is out to get Jim Harbaugh, the guy whose ass I professionally kiss. The NCAA doesn't want Michigan to succeed. Brought to you by Miller Lite.
Yeah. Tough day for him. We'll get to that in a few minutes. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m.
WWBFN, East Lansing, a Town Square media station. The Game, 7:30 a.m. Lansing's only sports station. From Mud Ice Arena to Little Caesars Arena, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On The Game, 7:30 a.m.
There's a long history of radio superstars that have come and gone in the Lansing area sports radio, Daddy. Legendary names like Mike Peplowski, David the Mad Dog DeMarco, Brock Palmbush, and Timmy Stout. But only one man has the intelligence, the intestinal fortitude, a girthy medulla oblongata, if you will. That man is Beanie Howell, Daddy. Beanie Howell, you've been to the top of the mountain. You've wined and dined with kings and queens, and you've dined in the second best production studio in the building on protein shakes and poking beans. But let there be no mistake, only one man will rise and step to the microphone to become world champion of Lansing area sports talk radio, and that man is Beanie Howell, Daddy. Put your hands on the radio, ladies and gentlemen, and help me welcome him now to the airwaves.
Hard times! In hard times! You don't know what hard times are, Daddy!
Hard times, little shack.
Thank you, Ghost of Dusty Rhodes and Steve, cousin of Jared Goff. Appreciate the intro. All right. It's a Studs and Duds edition of the program. You know the drill. A chance for you to win a $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of Downtown Lansing just by nominating one good and one bad performance from the weekend that was in sports. We're open for business till the end of the show with that. And I'm also asking you, man, everything that's happened this football season and then everything this weekend. So just getting chased out of your own field by your arch rival, 49-0 under the lights on national television. And then somehow you put up more images of Hitler than points on your own scoreboard in that game. Have we finally reached rock bottom? That's all out there for you. Let me go to the phone line. 517-300-4263. Ray and Holt. What's up, man?
Hey, I love that intro. That's just awesome. Really, really great. Yeah, that's awesome. I was going to say that I root for Philadelphia to win, and that's because I love Castellano. I always loved him when he was with Detroit, and he's done so well in these playoffs there. I've been rooting for their team to win. We'll see what happens.
They're in the middle of the first right now. Is scoreless with a chance to close it out over the D-backs in game six tonight. Right. So I suspect, I'm like you, I think they will.
Yeah, no. And I was going to say that before I forget, that when I do my studs and duds, I look at different stuff. And personally, my stud was really the Baltimore, the way they took care of Detroit. And hopefully Detroit next Monday night can look like a team again and come back and really play good. They got, I thought when they started the second half down 28-0 and drove down the field that maybe they were even going to make a game out of it, and then it wouldn't look so bad, but they just totally fell apart the whole game. And my dud on it was Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, basically, because with 8 seconds to go in a game and you're up 42-0 or whatever, that then to run in another touchdown when you can just fall on the ball and end the game and walk away. Now, I've coached kids in basketball before, and I never liked coaches that ran up a score or tried to run up a score myself. Now, I also, with saying that, I think that Michigan State should have had enough pride to just go through and not let that guy get a TD on him either, and that was sad to see and just showed.
Yeah, let me ask you. We've done that to them before, and did it bother you when we did it to them?
I don't remember us running it up. No,
the year they threw the spike into the field here. Remember, we were up like 28-6 at the end, and we got the ball with like 2 minutes left, and D'Antonio put all the starters out there, and they marched down the field for one more touchdown. And he said after the game, that was the shove it up there, it got shoved moment.
Yeah.
Did you have a problem with that?
Well, I have a problem with that too, because I don't agree with.
Well, I'm just checking to see if you're being fair.
No, I don't agree with it either way, because number one, you put your starters back in, somebody gets injured, and there's your season down the drain.
I'm with you on that.
Harbaugh did put a lot of subs in after third quarter, which was, I thought, decent of him. But then I just felt like at the end of the game, I thought, you know, if you're a really good coach, you'll just fall. I mean, it's not like you're going to get in the playoffs because you beat Michigan.
No, but it's a rivalry game. You want to make it hurt as bad as possible. And I'm good with it. I have no problem with that. You know what bothers me about it, Ray? That, like you said there at the end of your statement earlier, what bothers me more, not that Michigan did it, and not that Michigan wanted to make it sting, not just by putting one more touchdown on with a few seconds left, but letting the last guy to score on Michigan State be a dude named Orgy. Not just that. What bothered me was that State didn't stop it. Like, if you don't like it, don't let them do it, you know? That's simple.
Right, and I agree with that. I mean, I always would tell my players, if somebody's beating you by 50 and still scoring, I'm like, go out and stop them, you know? So I agree with that, too, and that's why I said that at the end. But I just felt like, you know, as a coach or something, that I would sit there and say, listen, just fall on the ball, let's get off here, nobody's hurt as far as injury or anything, and we can end this thing.
Well, but, you know, I think the
we'll see, hopefully
the rivalry aspect changes it. Like, I don't think Michigan does that to UNLV, right? So that and again, full disclosure, I don't mind it because I would do it to them. And when we have done it to them, I loved it. I ate it up. So I'm going to be fair about it. It doesn't bother me. But also, I think another element to it isn't just the rivalry part. I think the scandal breaking this week was bad for Michigan State because Michigan knew they were going to come in here and basically be able to name their score. And I think the scandal thing, the cheating thing breaking on Tuesday, dialed up the toxicity again, not to where it has been, but it made it more of a contested feeling about the game. And I think Michigan came in with a little something extra to prove because of that. And so State just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But then you add that rivalry aspect to it, and it was a no-brainer. Harbaugh wanted to add one more on to make it sting, and I don't blame him. I would have done the same damn thing.
Yeah, his quarterback definitely is a great player. He's going to go well.
All right, man. I got your studs and duds, right? So you're all good.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Ray. I appreciate the call.
Yep.
I have to get out because I do want to get into the update, Dr. J, on the yet-to-be-creatively-named scandal. In Michigan. Dr. J is working hard on that.
Hail to the cheaters.
Okay, that's close. I don't know.
That's my current work in progress.
Okay. It needs a little more workshopping. That's a good like fallback option. I think we can do better.
Okay.
But I'm gonna take a break here and we'll get into the development that came out on that just a few hours ago because I think it is significant and it is let's just say it's going to be real hard for the U of M crowd to spin this as everyone does it. Because, spoiler alert, not every program has a guy on staff who's purchasing tickets to virtually every opponent's stadium for other games and has people in those seats recording the sideline with their smartphones caught on surveillance footage at said stadiums, which is allegedly the case here. We'll get to that in a minute. But I do want to say this. There's not a lot I can say about this right now. But I think Look, when you're a reporter, you know, there's certain thresholds you have to clear and standards you need to abide by before you go public with something. Now, you don't necessarily have to do that when you're someone like me, when you come on the radio and just talk for a couple hours a day, or certainly when you're me and you just come on and holler and yell and get all pissed off and then do bits and tell fart jokes. Like, there's not as much of a credibility threshold with this line of work as there is with having an actual byline in a paper, for example. But I've done the best I can throughout this coaching search to give you updates that I'm getting from reliable sources. I still have a bit of a journalist left in me. Like, I have not completely rehabilitated. I'm in recovery, but, you know, kind of like how an alcoholic is never recovered, is always an alcoholic. I guess part of me will always be a journalist, and I can't kick some of the habits. So I'm not just going to come out and announce to you some of the stuff I've been told. But what I do want to say, and I don't think this is any secret if you're on Twitter, but for those of you who aren't, is there's increasing smoke in the Urban Meyer situation. Okay? I think that's as much as I'm comfortable saying. I told you 2 weeks ago that I've corroborated now. I had corroborated the initial stuff from Bernie Frato that so many dismissed, that Urban Meyer actually had visited with Michigan State about the opening. That was a couple of weeks ago. I'm being told now on good authority that there's more. So that's all I can say right now. I'm not just going to run with one source, and I'm certainly not going to just go out here and spew like vivid details. Not that I have a ton of those, but you're seeing some activity about this right now on Twitter, an MSU Twitter. And I could get why many people might react to that and say, oh, how coincidental. Michigan State season is completely over and everything just bottomed out. Of course, they're going to be chatting up the Urban Meyer thing at a new level right now. I get that, but I'm also telling you, and the person who I'm getting this from, I trust implicitly with this information and has never steered me wrong on a Michigan State related thing. There is some smoke to it. Now, if you ask me, Beanie, are you saying Urban Meyer's the next coach at Michigan State? I'm not. I still would peg it you know, in the single digit percentage chance. Because, well, you know, I'm a pessimistic kind of guy. That's what you all tell me. I'm jaded. Fine. I'll own it. I say I'm pragmatic. You say I'm negative. Whatever. This is going to have to be like something I see to believe situation. But I do believe the people I talk to. These sources are reliable people. And I know they're not steering me wrong here. So, but again, just because a guy is kicking the tires on a job doesn't mean he's going to, it certainly doesn't mean he's going to take the job. It doesn't even mean he's actually interested. But I'm told there's some talks going on here. So just keep an eye on it. Again, though, like I said on Friday, I still think it's more likely that next season Urban Meyer is the head coach at Ohio State again than at Michigan State. And that's just me. That's not intel. That's just how I feel. I did want to pass that along, though, because it is hitting critical mass on Twitter again today. It is spiked again. And I think many of you out there are thinking, like, what the hell? Like, are we that desperate? Like, we just had the worst possible situation happen in our rivalry game over the weekend, plus Hitler was on the scoreboard, and now people are trying to speak Urban Meyer into existence here. I can see that, why you would think that, but I'm also telling you there is at least some there. Okay? If I can, you know, get something more solid, of course, I will pass it along to you, but that's all we have right now. And also, I would, for anyone who's anxious, and I get it, you're desperate for some good news about this football program. And I'm seeing a ton of people, Dr. J, you've probably seen this too, I see a ton of Michigan State people saying, like, why not just hire Urban Meyer or whoever the next coach is now and let them get a head start? Well, guys, tell me one time that's ever happened. Can you remember a head coach, whether he was available and not in the industry or not? Can you remember him taking a different job in October? Because I can't. That doesn't happen. Even when, look, when Ohio State, that 2011 season, Luke Fickell was the interim and everyone knew he wasn't getting the permanent gig. They didn't announce Urban Meyer till after Thanksgiving. You know why? Out of respect to the interim guy. And also, obviously, Ohio State was going to do that. They were going to show Luke Fickell some respect considering he played and coached there. I bet Michigan State will give the same deference and respect to Harlan Barnett. And I also bet Urban Meyer wouldn't want to do that to someone. I don't think he wanted to do that to Luke Fickell. If this does wind up happening, I don't think he would want to do that to Harlan Barnett. So that kind of timing just isn't a thing. Stop thinking that. So many people are saying, why wouldn't they just do it now? Give them a head start. Doesn't work that way. That's why. Doesn't matter who the next coach is. It could be me. And I wouldn't do it. Just not something you do. But, you know, as I indicated weeks ago, I am officially not interested in the Michigan State head coaching job. I would also like to announce, Dr. J, as I go to break here, some... This just into the WVFN news desk. Beanie Howell officially not interested in the soon-to-be vacant role of video scoreboard coordinator at Spartan Stadium. And we'll go to break with that breaking bulletin. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Get your Detroit Lions pregame fix all season with nachos and kneecaps. The Lansing area's very own local Detroit Lions tailgate show. Presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason. Join yours truly, Beanie, from Offensive Minded on The Game, 7:30 a.m. and Brock Palmbush every week about 2 hours before kickoff. We cover all the Lions angles, player availability, matchups, outrageous Dan Campbell in-game decisions and audio, local ski mask tales, and everything else. Nachos and Kneecaps, presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason, is also brought to you by Miller Lite. On Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ and The Game, 7:38.
Got a hot take?
Pick up the phone and start dialing.
Offensive Minded phone lines are open. 517-300-4263.
And we're back. All right, let me catch up on some studs and duds entries before we move forward. Okay, Dr. J, here we go. Joaquin's Beard messages in for Studs and Duds via the free Game 7:30 a.m. app. He says, Dud, MSU football program. Stud, U of M football program. I eat crow. I predicted MSU's loss wouldn't be as bad as the 2002 game. An interesting side note, in numerology, the number 49 means upheaval that will be followed by change, new beginnings, and growth. Oh, well, that's good to hear. Wait, is that breaking news then? Did you hear what he just said, Dr. J? Do you know anything about numerology?
I know nothing about it.
All right. Well, again, Joaquin's beard says the number 49 signals rebirth and growth after some sort of cataclysm. So you heard it here first. Breaking news at WVFN. Joaquin's beard in East Lansing officially confirming Urban Meyer to Michigan State.
Oh, no.
Thank you for that breaking news bulletin, Mr. Joaquin's beard. I don't know. That sounds good to me. Anyway, continuing on, he says, consider this. 2002, U of M 49, MSU 3. Yeah, that one was in Ann Arbor. 2013, MSU held U of M to negative 48 yards rushing in a 29-6 win. U of M's worst rushing performance in the history of its program. 2023, U of M gives MSU its worst home defeat in 100 years of Spartan football, and the Spartans finish with 49 yards rushing. Food for thought. Bring on basketball. And he's... forgot to mention the scores. Oh, yeah, he mentioned it. Okay, we're good there. You're in. Thanks, Mr. Beard. Continuing on, Eddie and Marshall says, stud Alex DeBrinket. The Red Wings are fun to watch now. Dud the entire MSU coaching staff. Yeah, no kidding. Obviously, look, it's a lost season. So what good would it do firing an interim person in season? Probably none. But I got to tell you, man, Harlan Barnett said some stuff Saturday night that if I were in charge, yeah, he'd be gone. Specifically, he said he wondered if he was being too loose and too lenient with the team. And he specifically mentioned in his dedication and commitment to keeping the team together, he let some things slide. And he was talking about players being late to meetings and stuff. Well, you can't do that. I don't care what they're going through, and I get it that he's a nice guy and he's trying to be considerate, but dude, like, football is a game predicated on discipline. When you let guys start showing up late to meetings with no accountability, you know what that eventually, inevitably translates into? Guys blowing assignments on the field, or guys not paying enough attention in film, leading to worse performances on the field. Like, it's all cumulative. That, I mean, look, was I as bent out of shape over the score? No, I'm not that crazy upset because I thought the wheels were going to come off, and they did. But hearing him say that, that pissed me off. And D'Antonio's there. Like, what is he doing? Shouldn't he? I thought his whole point was to advise Harlan. So shouldn't he have said, hey, Harlan, we probably shouldn't let the players show up 10 minutes late to meetings, you know? Got to keep some semblance of a serious football operation in order here. Good Lord. Some of you people think he's actually auditioning for the job. Can we end that now? Are we over that? That'd be great. Wouldn't it? That'd be fantastic. All right. Bill in Williamston messages in the free game 7:30 a.m. app. He says, studs, Ohio State's defense appears to be real this year. Duds, Ohio State's offense appears to have no quarterback this year. Stout analysis. Yeah, dude, watching that game, isn't it clear? Michigan, the Big Ten is just all of the Big Ten, including the final game for them, including the trip to Happy Valley coming up here, and including the Big Ten title game. They are all just bumps in the road. U of M is going to get to the playoff undefeated. I just don't know how you could pick either of those teams to beat them. The only way Michigan loses is if someone helps them. Or excuse me, if they help someone is what I mean. And they just don't make mistakes, whether they're stealing signs or not. And there's no doubt that gives them a competitive advantage. But before any of that, they're still a really good football team. They got really good players, and they have really good habits. Does knowing what the opponent's going to do help? Of course. Of course, but they're still really freaking good. Now, to that, let's get into the update there. ESPN has a huge story today, just a couple hours ago. Sources. Michigan staffer had tickets at 11 other Big Ten schools. I'll read you from the story. Connor Stallions, the suspended Michigan staffer at the center of the NCAA sign-stealing probe, purchased tickets in his own name for more than 30 games over the past 3 years at 11 different Big Ten schools. Sources at 11 different league schools told ESPN. The scope of the U of M alleged sign-stealing operation includes both video evidence of electronics prohibited by the NCAA to steal signs and a significant paper trail. Stallions forwarded the tickets he bought to at least three different people in different areas of the country, according to sources, which hints at the breadth of this operation. The NCAA is expected to receive video evidence this week of illegal technology used in scouting tied to tickets purchased by Stallions, according to sources. An opposing Big Ten school looked up in-stadium surveillance video from a game earlier this year, and sources said the person in the seat of the ticket purchased by Stallions held his smartphone up and appeared to film the home team's sideline the entire game. Sources confirmed to ESPN that Stallions purchased tickets on both sides of the stadium across from each bench for Ohio State's game with Penn State on Saturday. Michigan plays both teams in upcoming weeks. According to sources, the tickets purchased by Stallions were not used Saturday. Stallions' name emerged publicly in an ESPN report Friday. He was suspended with pay by Michigan. None of the tickets that the 11 schools told ESPN about involved Michigan as an opponent. The games involved either one or both of the teams the Wolverines were playing later that season. Uh-oh. It's getting messier and messier. Look, tough day. This is a real tough day. Tough development for the everybody does it crowd. Including the huge dumbass who comes in after me every day on these airwaves. Listen to the, okay. I don't mean to draw attention to a black hole of a negative IQ. But listen to what he tweeted. And I'm talking about the huge Miller Lite shill. By the way, nothing against Miller Lite. I like Miller Lite. When Pete Thamel reported that, just a couple hours ago, that he's the ESPN story who broke this. He put it on Twitter. This is what Pete Thamel put on Twitter today. Sources, Michigan staffer Connor Stallions bought tickets for more than 30 games at 11 Big Ten schools over the past 3 years. Video evidence of sideline taping is expected to be sent to the NCAA this week, caught by stadium surveillance this year. Okay, here's what the huge brand steakhouse spokesperson tweeted. Keep in mind, this is a person who for the last 7 weeks has continued to spew unfettered, completely unfounded conspiracy theories about Michigan State. This is a guy who is alleging Michigan State at every level of the university has been engaged in some kind of cover-up as it pertains to Mel Tucker and beyond. Okay, when Pete Thamel reported this, here's what the huge brand steakhouse sellout jackass tweeted. Quote, I'll believe it when I see the evidence. Really? Really? Okay, just because this is a pretty damning report from multiple schools now about the team who's apparently you wear their logo on your underpants and your footed pajamas at bedtime. When it's about them, you need to see the evidence before you have a huge opinion. But when all we have reporting wise on Michigan State and the Mel Tucker situation is that they followed the protocol to a T, at least that's what we have so far, that doesn't stop you from being convinced that there's a Watergate-level conspiracy afoot. Meanwhile, here's his favorite football team engaged in the Watergate equivalent on a football field. Jim Harbaugh is basically Nixon, and that tracks because they both have the same jaws and jowls. And the huge POS can't be bothered to have a critical thought. And yet people wonder, people are asking me why so many listeners are coming up to me at the tailgate show and complaining about the huge show. This is why. Hey, listen, That's not for me to address, by the way. So stop asking me. You got a problem with the huge show? First of all, okay. But why are you bringing it up to me? All I do is come out and talk for a couple of hours. If any of you are under the impression that I have some kind of clout or pull managerial-wise, that ended like a decade ago here after my first run, and I don't think I even had that much clout then. So you're talking to the wrong person. I'll give you some advice, all right? Listen, if you're a Michigan State fan and you're really bothered by a very transparent, obvious, biased handling of the Michigan thing as it compares to, unfettered, unfounded, borderline slanderous conspiracy theory about Michigan State coming from the huge Bloviator. If that really bothers you, complaining to me ain't going to help. You know what would get some progress on it? And I would say this about anyone you have a problem with in a broadcast capacity. If you want your voice heard about your opinion on the broadcast or content thereof, there's one surefire way to make the most noise. Go to their sponsors. Don't talk to me about the huge show. At least don't come to me and expect me to get something done about it for you. Like, that's not my role. If you want to take some action to get something done, hold him to account, talk to the sponsors. Don't talk to me. Doesn't just have to be sponsors, though. How about this? If you're so bothered by the huge show's programming and content, fine. Next time you're at a Michigan State event and you see Tom Izzo, why don't you pull him aside and say, Coach, why do you go on the huge show? After what he says about your university and employer, why do you go on there? Why do you lend your name and voice to him? Why do you why would you give him any credibility? Why would you give him the time of day, let alone any of your credibility? That's more helpful than complaining to me. Now, I don't mind. You know, you come up to me at the tailgate show and want to bitch about it, fine. I'll listen. I'll sit there and, you know, I'll listen to you, fine. But I'm not the one to make something happen for you guys, programming-wise. I'm just sorry. Haven't you figured out by now, like, the way thing works? The way things work in the media, at least nowadays, if you're unhappy with programming on a certain show, no matter, we're talking radio, we're talking TV, we're talking streaming, whatever it is, you know what moves the needle? Not complaining to people like me. If you think it's seriously bad and you think something should be addressed about it, fine, go to the sponsors. Go to the sponsors. That simple. Am I speaking out of turn here, Dr. J? Isn't that pretty simple?
That's pretty simple and self-explanatory about why that would be effective.
I'm not just complaining that people complain to me. That's not the point. I'm just saying if you really, like, people are coming to me expecting, like, some progress or something to be done about this, I'm sorry. That's not me. That's not my job. I'm glad you care and you're engaged. I appreciate that, and I will listen to you. You listen to the station, you want to tell me what you think, fine, okay, I appreciate it. But I can't really do a lot for you. That's not my job. Again, you know, there's someone on the TV you don't like spewing stuff, whatever it may be. If you really want to make your voice heard, talk to the sponsors. That's how it works. It's not really a secret. It's offensive-minded. I'm Beanie. This is the Game 738.
There's only one station in Lansing that you've depended on for sports for over 30 years. Some call us by our government-given name of WVFN East Lansing. You can call us by the name the people of Lansing know us by, and that name is The Game, 7:30 a.m. Start your weekday morning with the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout. Middays with Mike Greenberg. Offensive-minded with Beanie Howell. And The Huge Show with Bill Simonson. We're a force to be reckoned with. We're Lansing's only sports station. The Game, 7:30 a.m. We're the station you've turned to for sports for over 30 years and the only one still standing. We're Lansing's sports leader. The Game, 7:30 a.m.
All right, we're back to wrap it up with you, as the music would suggest. I got a couple of more studs and duds entries before we do the drawing here, Dr. Dre. So here's the horse racing handicapper, formerly known as Daily Double, now known as Steve from email. He says, studs and duds, my dud is MSU from top to bottom. When will it end? The situation is so frustrating, I can't come up with a stud. So if I'm entered into the contest and I win, I expect no more than a $12.50 gift card to Nut House. All right. I guess I can abide by that. Bass Boat Randy emails in, too. He says, stud, my wife for the truck she got me for our 36th wedding anniversary. All right, Randy, aww, this is the second time you have messaged in to gloat about that. Or third time. We get it. You've got the best wife in the world. For those of us who don't have such good significant others, who wouldn't do something like that for us, stop rubbing it in. Man, I just got myself in a lot of trouble. Oh, wait, she doesn't listen to this. That's good. Anyway, dud, he says, MSU and Lions football. Yeah, the Harbaugh brothers had their way with Michigan State and the Lions this weekend. Rough weekend. Yeah. Okay, I think that covers it. I'll call it there, and we'll do the drawing now. So who wins the $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of downtown Lansing? Let's see. Drum roll, please.
No!
That's Darth Vader.
What was that?
That's Darth Vader.
No!
Oh, that's great. That's great. All right. I don't know what happened to the drum roll sound effect. Oh, there it is. Here we go. The winner is Bill in Williamston. What is going on with the board? Congratulations, Bill in Williamston. I don't know what the hell is going on with the board right now. It's like, Dr. J, it's like it's in delay. I click something and then it won't play for like 3 seconds, but by then I've clicked something else, you know? So it's going out of order. It's bizarre.
Well, it is spooky season. Maybe it's haunted.
Nah, I think it's probably the elaborate eavesdropping system U of M has in place.
Ah, yes.
Connor Stallions knows we've been hard. We've been awful harsh on him since the news broke last week. And he's got a ton of time on his hands, so he probably hacked into our board here. Mm-hmm. Anyway, congratulations, Bill and Williamson. You just won a $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of downtown Lansing. Appreciate you playing studs and duds. And we also appreciate the Nut House of Lansing for making it possible. That'll do it for us today. We're back at it tomorrow, 4 to 6. Dr. J, thanks for being here. For everyone else, thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow. But until then, be safe and be good.